Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. Thank you for listening to this show and to American Family Radio. As always, we don't take our listeners for granted. And we're going to talk about the news of the day for the next hour and 25 minutes. And joining me in studio is Walker Wildman, my youngest son. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here on the show.
How'd you get this job?
Well, I applied for it.
Did you? How many people did you have to?
2.5 years ago.
Yeah. Do you have to beat some people out for it, or did you have
I'm not sure if there was any competition or not. Okay. If there was, I wasn't made aware of it.
Okay.
Older brother, I think.
His older brother?
Yeah.
Was the competition? Yeah. He was already hired, though.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, but not for this show.
Okay.
Anyway, Walker, tell us what we're going to be doing on Facebook, and then we'll get to this, A Voice from Canada. We're here.
We'll be live streaming on Facebook, and you can go to Today's Issues page and watch the show.
That's it?
That's it.
You're going to have to make that spice that up a little bit.
Well, I didn't have competition when I had to.
So you're not challenged. So you kind of fall into a rut.
Right.
All right. No, I'm just teasing. For you people who email and post comments on Facebook for Today's Issues, and you tell me to get off Walker's back. Okay. Just kidding. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. It is good. Yeah. Good to be here.
Amen.
I'm glad we're not coming live and direct from New York City this morning.
Oh, it's a mess up there.
I want to talk about that. Ray Pritchard with us from Dallas.
Hey, it's bright and sunny here in Texas. You know,
is going to reach 50 today there?
We're going to get right up against 50 today, and we're going to get close to 60 this weekend. So, as Fred said, it's good to be any place but in New England right now.
Wow. Fred, tell us what's going on there.
Well, I just saw a live shot from the Fox News studio in New York. The backdrop on the shot, the blizzard has arrived, and it's a blizzard. And that word carries with it snow, freezing rain, extremely cold temperatures. Sometimes when it snows, you actually see the temperature go up a little bit. But that is not the case. There was a live shot this morning from Atlantic City, along that shore, Jersey Shore there, and already there was 2 feet of snow on the ground. And if that's not bad enough in a busy corridor, when you're talking millions of people live up there along that Atlantic coast, if that's not bad enough, in behind this blizzard, when it finally gets out of there, they're talking 3 to 4 days of below zero Fahrenheit temperatures. So this is a mess. There's, you know, we've seen already, because that's the same storm we talked about yesterday, northern Florida up through Georgia along the Carolinas. It left thousands of flights canceled. A lot of people, you hear reports over and over again, they're losing their heating systems that have to be replaced, all of those sorts of things. You put an exponential climb in that when you get up into New England, those places up there, because they are now getting really hammered. Snow, freezing rain, and then freezing temperatures for days in behind that.
Hmm. Well, and it does disrupt travel and business.
Oh, my, yes.
All the way. And, you know, that's the most densely populated part of the country, from D.C. to Boston. Mm-hmm. You include Philadelphia and New York City and Baltimore and all in there. That's probably, I don't know, 1/10 of the country's population, mm-hmm. right there in that 4 or 5 state area. Mm-hmm. So a lot going on weather-wise, and even for those folks, right?
It's tough. I mean, you think New England, okay, they can handle it, but no, it's tough all the way around. When you talk about a freezing rain and then freezing temperatures mixed in with that, if you've got stuff like freezing rain sticking to power lines, mm-hmm. and then it's freezing temperatures for days mm-hmm. after that, mm-hmm. It's catastrophic. Mm-hmm. So we need to be praying for those folks.
All right. So that's the weather.
That's the weather.
Now to sports. No, not sports.
Now to Steve Bannon.
Oh, Steve Bannon. Well, it's blood sport.
Oh, my.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve Bannon, lay it out. He's friends with a book writer, Michael Wolff. Michael Wolff had frequent visits while Steve Bannon was still working in the White House early on in the Trump administration. Bannon apparently invited him in many times, and they had chats. And I guess stemming from some of those chats, Michael Wolff has now written a book, and that book is due to come out publicly January the 9th. It's called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. And basically, there's some excerpts that have been put out there in the last 48 hours. The media has been reporting on it. And in those excerpts, we basically have Bannon saying nasty things about Donald Trump Jr., like there was a treasonous meeting with the Russians. He is very critical of Ivanka Trump, President Trump's daughter, and on it goes. This was the subject of all the major headlines yesterday, the questioning during question period. And the question then becomes, everybody knows that Bannon was, I'll put it this way, invited to leave the White House back several months ago. He was, during Donald Trump's election campaign, he probably was Donald Trump's right-hand man and was given credit to a certain extent for the Trump victory. So a lot of people just can't seem to understand, why would Steve Bannon now go out and say all these nasty things about the Trump family? And so Dana Loesch, she used to work for Breitbart, run by Bannon. She's now a talk show host, amongst other things. She was on Fox and Friends this morning to offer her interpretation of what Bannon has done. So let's have a listen to that. Cut two.
This is an individual who likes to take credit for other people's success. He glommed onto Sarah Palin in the early days of her campaign. He glommed onto Andrew Breitbart. He glommed onto Ted Cruz. And he did the same thing with President Trump. He catches people as they're ascending or after they've already ascended and then tries to claim credit for all of their accomplishments. Steve Bannon is all about Steve Bannon and will always only ever be about Steve Bannon.
Well, the only one thing I would not know is that if he does have a part of the base, will he take that with him since he's now drawn sides between him and the president?
I don't think so. The president didn't need Steve Bannon to win, and the president doesn't need Steve Bannon to be successful. Steve Bannon's a contribution to this is taking over a website that was created by a better guy and running it into the ground and making it a platform for the alt-right.
So you have it. That's the comment from Dana Loesch. Now, if Bannon had an opportunity, he was given an opportunity last night. He was hosting a show on XM, Sirius XM, in Washington last night. If he had an opportunity to clear the air and say, I've been misquoted, I didn't mean those things, he had the opportunity last night. But we have a short clip from what he had to say on his show last night. This is Steve Bannon.
The President of the United States is a great man. You know, I support him day in and day out, whether going through the country, given the Trump miracle speech, or on the show or on the website. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
So there you have it last night. So he thinks Donald Trump's a great man, but he took the opportunity with this author friend of his, Michael Wolff, to dump all over the Trump family.
What in the world is he doing letting an author have access to the White House when he's the top aide? How did he get away with that?
I don't know, but I think someone said this morning 70% of the visitors of Michael Wolff's were at the invitation of Steve Bannon.
I'm going on what you've just said here, and I've admired Steve Bannon's political contributions to President Trump's agenda, but that just seems like a betrayal almost to me. I know the White House is the people's house, but my word, you should have a right to control what goes on inside your White House, private meetings, discussions, things like that, without worry that it would be exposed to the world. Maybe I know people do this at the end of administrations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they write kiss and tell books, Ray. But it just seemed, I don't know, this doesn't seem right to me. What Steve Bannon is doing?
You know, it makes you wonder if he had an agenda of his own. From the very first day, the only reason you would let a guy come in that many times is because you wanted to make sure you got your story out. So in a way, this the book this fellow wrote is like Inside the Trump White House, parenthesis, as seen by Steve Bannon. I sure don't think it makes him look very good.
Yeah, Walker, what do you think about this?
Yeah, Steve, if it's true that Steve Bannon gave this author access much of the time, apparently he visited alone under 20 times to the West Wing and had access to the Chief of Staff's office, Reince Priebus. That's stupid to give an author access to a, what is already an unstable West Wing, because Reince Priebus's personality and the way he managed things, there was no managing things. It was a free-for-all. That's why you had leaks, you had chaos, everybody was, there was infighting. And for Steve Bannon or whoever, really whoever, to allow this author into the White House, this author is known for misquoting people. He's written books before where he's misquoted people, and there's been lawsuits, and even some of the people he's quoted in this book said, that is not what I said. Mm-hmm. So you don't allow someone like that into the White House and give them free access to all this information and then expect something good to come out of that.
Now, apparently, Wolf is saying this morning, because as
Wolf
you say—
Wolf is the author?
Wolf is the author. He is saying this morning to respond to those who say he's misquoting me or I never said that. He says he has tapes of at least some of the interviews he did with these individuals. Mm-hmm. So he's fighting back against— Now, keep in mind, this book doesn't go public until next Tuesday.
Right.
The other thing that has happened is that lawyers for President Trump have issued a cease and desist letter to Steve Bannon because he signed a confidentiality agreement that he wouldn't talk about things inside the White House after he was let go. So that has gone out. So he's being now threatened with a lawsuit over talking about what happened when, during his days in the White House. So this is a real mess. But the other thing is that Steve Bannon, for a certain segment of the Republican Party, the supporters, Republicans, has been a bit of a hero. He was going to be out there this year, this election year, 2018, as part of, you know, drain the swamp. We're going to get new people. Like, there's six Republican senators, I think, that he was targeting, that he was going to support candidates to try to unseat them. That all takes money. Question is now, with this happening, with President Trump saying of Steve Bannon this morning that he has lost his mind, referring to Steve Bannon. So now you've got, the question is going to come down, are the grassroots of the Republican Party going to continue to support President Trump? Are they going to abandon Steve Bannon, who has been seen as a bit of a hero?
I think the power that President Trump, Steve Bannon, and others, that's portrayed by the media that they hold, I think it's way overrated.
That who holds?
That the influence that the media claims Steve Bannon and President Trump and others have on getting candidates into office. You saw that. President Trump has endorsed candidates that lose for a variety of reasons. And so I think the movement, the conservative movement that President Trump kind of bolstered, I think that's going to carry on whether Steve Bannon is in the picture or not, or even whether President Trump's in the picture or not. I don't think this entire movement of waking up our country is hinging on whether Bannon is involved or not.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. On American Family Radio, Ray, well, you know what's funny to me is the national news media, for the most part, has portrayed Steve Bannon as the devil incarnate, right?
That's right. That's right.
Over the last year.
Yeah, the dark prince of the alt-right and all of that. Suddenly now he's a hero for it.
That's what I'm saying. Now he's the darling of the liberal media because of his attacks, I guess, would you call them
swipes.
Attacks?
Yeah.
Of a personal nature. This doesn't seem to me, I haven't read all the stories, but it doesn't seem to me a lot of policy related arguments. This is
a lot of name calling too.
This is him going after President Trump's family members, and you know how people are.
That's a dumb thing. That's a really dumb thing to do.
Yeah, right? It'd have been
to
better
to attack Ivanka and Jared Kushner in the personal way he did. You know, that's
that's
almost career suicide, right?
You're certainly not going to get away with that with President Trump. You know, he has a bit of a temper when it comes to personal attacks. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But I've never heard of a inside the White House expose less than a year after inauguration.
Yeah,
we're gonna have one a year, huh? That just and if it's true that Mr. Bannon let him in, this author in,
right,
for a lot of visits into the White House, that's just wrong. I'm sorry. That's mm-hmm. That would be to me a betrayal of your boss, and that's the way I look at it. And this or something else I don't know is that's the story. That's the way I view it.
Right. I did not know that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has a Twitter account as well.
What?
And he tweeted out, according to a report,
Wild and Crazy Mitch,
Washington Examiner.
He's out there.
All he tweeted out was a picture of him sitting at a desk with a kind of a smug smile on his face with regards to the Bannon story. Now, this is not breaking news. No love lost between Mitch McConnell and Steve Bannon.
No.
Because Steve Bannon would consider Mitch McConnell as part of the swamp that needs to be drained, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment, you remember early on in the Alabama primary, backed the candidate against Roy Moore and spent, what, $30 million? Mm-hmm. So I think what the tweet from Mitch McConnell is saying, gee whiz, I'm sure glad Steve Bannon is now on the out and outs. Mm-hmm. I do believe there has been a shifting with regards to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan when it comes to getting behind the president. I think the victory on tax reform, I think there's now more of a cohesive relationship between Trump, McConnell, and Ryan. And I think they're willing, I think many Republicans who are maybe skeptical and indeed very critical of President Trump and his tweeting and how he handled himself, I think that may be, and maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but I think that is behind, and I think going forward, people like McConnell and Ryan now see Trump as an asset mm-hmm. in 2018. I remember the words of praise that they had for President Trump after tax reform was passed there about 10 days ago. And they all credited Trump with driving this. And like him or not, he is a pit bull when it comes to his agenda. And he just doesn't quit.
Mm-hmm. When do we agree that Bannon is done as far as influence mm-hmm. inside the White House?
Unless he comes out and apologizes.
Do you expect him to do that?
No, probably not.
No.
Yeah.
No, but now Steve Bannon, his two things that he had going for him, one was his Breitbart website mm-hmm. that, I don't know if you could call it, quote, his, but didn't he go back there?
He's a CEO now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, and then he had access to a lot of money from some...
From the Mercer family.
But the report is on thehill.com that they're pulling their money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've distanced themselves.
So I don't.
That's a big mistake for Bannon to lose Mercer's support. That's a heavy blow.
Yeah, so I don't know. And then you got the president saying he's lost his mind. He lost his job and he lost his mind. I don't know that he's not finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've worked in the West Wing, even if you left the West Wing within the last year, you keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Well, not only have you signed non-disclosure agreements to keep what happens in the West Wing in the West Wing, you don't go out and talk about it.
Especially talking about your family.
Yeah, like name this. Calling, stuff right. like that.
Well, did he say that Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with, was it Russian diplomats or officials said Trump Tower was treasonous or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah,
he used the word. Yeah, he used the word treasonous.
So, anyway, I don't know how much more we'll be hearing from Steve Bannon. Well, although he probably will replace Matt Lauer now on the Today. Now that I'm thinking about it, he'll become the darling of the left wing media.
They're going to love him now.
They're going to love him now because he's helping to damage President Trump. Mm-hmm. All right, next story.
Well, I was rather surprised in this Associated Press story that came our way this morning This is their headline. Divided Democrats face liberal backlash on immigration. And I read that headline and I said, first of all, it's the AP, the liberal media, and they're talking about division in the Democratic Party. So it caught my interest, and here's what it appears to be about. It's about DACA, the so-called Dreamers, the 700,000 to 800,000 young people who were brought into this country illegally by their parents back many years ago. And so remember the president, President Trump, back in the fall, gave Congress 6 months to come up with some kind of plan on what to do with these Dreamers, whether they were going to ship them back to Mexico or allow them to become, you know, green card them and eventually become citizens. Well, here's what's going on. Some very wealthy backers of the Democratic Party, groups like MoveOn.org, which is George Soros and the gang, they are trying to force the Democrats to take a very hard line and make the solution to the Dreamers separate legislation. President Trump, on the other hand, wants the what to do with the Dreamers included in the spending bill. In other words, you give me the money to build a wall, for example, then I'll be a little bit more generous with what I think should be done with the Dreamers. George Soros, MoveOn, and others are saying to Democrats, no, you need to hold the line and make sure that this is a separate piece of legislation for the Dreamers. And basically, they want amnesty for all these 700, 800,000. They are now threatening the wealthy donors to remove money from the Democrats during the primary season this year of any Democrat that doesn't follow that hard line. So you're talking about people like Senator Claire McCaskill in Missouri, who's facing re-election in Missouri. We're not going to give you any money for your re-election campaign if you don't follow the hard line on the Dreamers. So you've got this division going on right now. They're accusing Chuck Schumer of not being tough enough and holding the line. Not sure what they have said about Nancy Pelosi. So you've got a fight going on inside the Democratic Party, and you've got millions and millions of dollars involved here. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will. You know, the situation with the Dreamers, or the what does DACA stand for? Anybody know?
Deferment Action on Childhood Arrivals.
And President Obama started this, right?
That's
right.
Yes, that's it was right. An executive order.
Mm-hmm. Executive order. Once again, an executive order, not a law, right?
No, and it was very, very unconstitutional.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Surprisingly, under President Obama's watch.
That was out of character with Obama,
I know.
Wasn't it? Doing unconstitutional things through executive order. anyway, Ray, what's your take on this situation?
Well, the problem the Democrats have is they have gone so far to the left, so far, that if any of their leaders try to even tack toward the center to make a deal with Trump, the far left is holding the Democratic Party hostage. So even if there are, quote, mainstream Democrats who want to make a deal, maybe border security, maybe even the border wall in exchange for something about DACA, they're going to be crucified by the left wing of their own party, really stuck in a bad situation right now.
You know, the wall, the border wall, which was a main campaign promise of President Trump, you've had the Republicans in charge of the House and the Senate. I don't understand why the money has not already been authorized. Mm-hmm. It's the Democrats can't stop that. That's right. Am I right?
That's you're right.
Right. Right.
So that's the fault of the Republicans in the Congress, the fact that hasn't been.
They could get the wall if they wanted it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, the fact that you're going to have to put it up as a negotiation tool, but, you know, with the Democrats, I don't see that as necessary on this. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issue. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our spiritual heritage tours fill up each year several months in advance, and we've got the dates now for our 2018 trips. There are two tours. There's one to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, and then there's a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where we'll explore early American history. Now, if you want information on these tours, simply go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Again, in June and September, you can go on one or you can go on both. They're back to back. We plan them that way. Again, June and September, Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, and I hope to see you on one of our spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. From the University of Tennessee in Knoxville comes word of a disturbing video showing a student arguing in favor of killing newborn babies simply because they cannot communicate.
The fact of the matter is, if without communication, we have no way of knowing if you're sentient or not. I mean, it's no different than this tree. It's alive, but is it sentient? I don't know. I cannot communicate to it.
The video was filmed by Students for Life of America. You can watch the entire encounter on toddstarnes.com. Students for Life says there's a growing movement on university campuses favoring infanticide, in some cases killing children as young as 2 years old. I'm afraid an unspeakable wickedness has befallen many of our public university campuses. What kind of a society are we to fund places that advocate for the slaughter of babies? What kind of people have we become? I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. We're live video streaming at our Today's Issues Facebook page, if you want to go there and check it out. Walker's also posting the stories we've been discussing, so you can have them for yourself, and you can comment on the program as well. Fred Jackson in studio with us, and also with us is our good friend Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Ray's co-hosting with us, as he normally does on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Ray, Fred, Walker, that's just... And talking about the wall, the border wall that President Trump ran on, which has yet to be funded by either Mexico or the U.S. Congress, right? And we're coming to the year of President Trump's first term. Now, President Trump, from a conservative viewpoint, has done a lot of great things. The things that he could do as president... alone, he has done almost all the things that he said he would do. The crown jewel being the appointment of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court of the United States to replace Antonin Scalia. So I think a lot of people, add up the pluses and minuses. I'm talking about people who voted for President Trump right now and say he's held true to his promises that he could control. Now, he can't control... whether he gets the funding, well, let me put it this way. It's more difficult for him to control whether or not he gets the funding for the border wall with along our southern border or not. And the objective there obviously is to stop the massive influx of illegal immigrants from not only Mexico but also from Central America. And you can say this a thousand times, the liberal media will never understand this. It's not xenophobia. It's not hatred for Mexicans or for people from Central America. It's just a matter of a country, being sovereign and being able to, like any country. Mexico controls its own borders. I mean, we have a right to control who comes in our country without being called bigots. But that's what the left uses against people who are for a border security wall. Let's be blunt about this, because you try to say, what is the reason that the Democrats are against a border security wall
to help some Republicans too?
And some Republicans, what is the real reason that you're against a border security wall? And we're not talking wall to wall from San Diego to the Gulf of Mexico. We're talking about places that the terrain allows for a wall, and where you have a real problem with where these folks come into our country. The only reason I can deduct, right, I'd like you to comment on this first, and then we'll go to Jan Markell momentarily. The only reason I can come up with that the Democrats oppose the funding for the wall is because they want open borders. They want people to come here illegally. That way they can flood the country, get these people to become legal and voters, and thereby put the Republican Party in the dustbin of history. Now, am I too cynical there, Ray, or do you think that would be their motivation?
No, I don't think you're too cynical. Certainly that's the biggest part of it. They know that by allowing these folks to come in from Mexico, Central America, other countries, that a great majority of them are going to become voters in the Democratic Party. And, you know, if you get enough people coming to Texas, Texas was bright red. You know, now there's a little purplish element in Texas. You know, there's more of a Democratic vote here than there used to be. It's true in all the states. The Democrats are smart in that one regard. They know that open borders favors them in the long run. And so they're going to fight this battle as long as they can. Because as you said, if they win, the Republicans are in the dustbin of history.
Mm-hmm. Walker?
Yeah, this also determines whether we're going to follow our own laws or we're not.
Right.
Many people don't know, but we have very good laws on the books now. They just aren't being enforced. It's hard to enforce because there's so much. The system's overwhelmed.
With respect to what? Border?
With respect to illegal immigrants.
Okay.
Yeah, the system's overwhelmed. There's so many of them, it's hard for the courts to process them all. But we have very good laws now. But you see in California, they just made it a sanctuary state, whatever that means. But that's what the Democrats would do nationally if they controlled Congress and the White House. Is they would essentially say, we have no laws, we have no borders. If you want to come here illegally, that's fine. You have just as many rights as a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. And that's the end game.
Brett, I'm for letting California go. What do you think? Cali exit. Let them go.
Let them go. Well, you know, I look at, I think you can draw a comparison, too, with what's been going on in Europe with the influx from the Islamic world into Europe. There was a report the other day that violent crime is on the increase. And this was a report from the German government, is on the increase because of the Islamic migration into that country. Sweden the other day had to raise their retirement age because people have to stay at work and work longer in their lives. I think it was 61 to 64. These people who are all on state pensions are having to work longer in order to save, the government has to save money to take care of the Muslims who have come into that country, which is costing that country about $59 billion a year. So there is a reason why people are starting to, there's a reason for Brexit. The Brits are saying we can't sustain ourselves anymore. Likewise, here in this country, we cannot sustain a social program. We're going to pay for their food. We're going to pay for their lodging. We're going to pay for their education. We're, you know, sadly going to pay for their abortions. Mm-hmm. We can't sustain this any longer. Right. There is a reason why countries have borders, because there's an expectation of that you have to abide by the laws of the country and contribute to the country. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons why President Trump wants to end so-called chain migration, that once one family member gets in, you have to let everybody else in. This has gotten out of hand. The American revenues cannot stand this anymore. We've got to stop this. And so the wall has to be built. There has to be greater protection. We know that under President Obama, I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people coming into this country illegally every year.
Yeah. Catch and release.
Nonstop.
Catch and release. They were running catch and release.
Yeah, people were coming in and out of the country five times. In other words, they get deported and they come back in again. Deported to come back in again. It's nonsense. Mm-hmm. A country has to have borders. We have laws in this country. All President Trump is saying, we have to enforce those laws by building a better border wall.
Right.
Yeah, but I do think the onus is going to be on the president now in the next 6 months or sooner to have that money to build the wall, build a security wall on the southern border that we need, mm-hmm. that yeah. he promised. Otherwise, it's going to be on him.
Yeah.
It's going to be a failure on his part.
That's right.
He will be able to, you know, say, well, I didn't get the money from here, there, or the other. But he's the one that championed that, and it's his responsibility to
pressure Congress.
Yes, to negotiate the money for it.
I think he's being very smart, though, and I'll tell you why. He is saying, no. I'll deal with the Dreamers, the DACA folks, but it's going to be under the spending bill. If the Democrats don't go along with that, then these Dreamers start getting deported. And he can say, I wanted to keep these young people mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. but the Democrats stopped me from doing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's smart.
This is where we just did the story. There's a divide in the Democratic Party.
Right.
They understand how this is going to work. President Donald Trump goes out there at a news conference 10 days from now and says, I want to keep these. He said, I love the Dreamers. Remember he mm-hmm. said that mm-hmm. last fall? I love the Dreamers. I want to keep them here, but the Democrats won't let me.
Mm-hmm.
They won't let me.
Because why?
Because they want a separate bill over here. They want to exclude the Dreamer question from the spending bill.
Okay.
Part two of that is, all right, you know, you don't give it to me in the spending bill, the government shuts down. Whose fault is that, Donald Trump says?
You're talking about the border security wall. He's wanting to trade
the wall for legalization, some form right. of legalization.
I got you. Right. I got the Dreamers. Right. Yep.
All right. Jan Markell joins us every Thursday that she can from the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Jan is with Olive Tree Ministries. She's the president, founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She has a much listened to radio program here on American Family Radio on the weekends called Understanding the Times. She joins us now. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. Jan, we sent you a couple of topics we wanted to talk about. Did you get those?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about first the president's tweet earlier this week regarding the potential of cutting off the money, the millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, I guess, we mm-hmm. send to the Palestinian Authority, you know, each year. That's part of our, you know, handout program around the world to various sundry countries. Pakistan just got theirs cut, I think, by the president. But I guess President Trump is saying, you know, that if the Palestinian leadership is not going to, you know, promote peace with Israel, we're not going to give them any more money. Is that basically what he's saying?
It is, and it's over $500 million. That's taxpayer money, and that's from your paycheck and mine, and it's insane because, as you've stated, the Palestinian leadership has no interest in any kind of peace treaty or peace talks or peace negotiations. They've only got an interest in war, and thankfully, Donald Trump may be the first president, perhaps ever, to acknowledge this, because every previous president, it's just not even a discussion. We just pay off these people and keep paying them off, and they say over there, well, you're helping you're helping to educate our kids and things like baloney. It's all going into terrorist efforts, not just in Israel, but really other places in the region as well. But heavily, it's to drive Israel out of the land, which will never succeed.
Now, the president, that was just a threat, right? He hasn't actually done that yet.
Correct.
I guess he's waiting for the response, giving them a few weeks or whatever to the Palestinian leadership. Okay.
And this conversation was going on over the summer, for that matter. Rex Tillerson made the very same threat over the summer, and then I don't think anything happened with it. Obviously, nothing happened. So it's an ongoing discussion. But I'm just intrigued that no previous administration would even bring this up for discussion.
Well, you see what happened with Pakistan.
Yeah.
He followed through with this on Pakistan. I didn't realize, quite frankly, I'm maybe a little embarrassed by my ignorance on this, that the president alone, the executive branch, could cut off the money. But I guess it falls under the State Department. The Congress would authorize the money, and then it's the State Department's. I guess that's where it falls.
You raise a good point, and I'm not sure of the procedure either, and I would be a little bit surprised if this can be done with an executive order. I do not know. I would think Congress would have to be involved, and that could be a problem if Congress has to be involved. Because, again, I think it's one of the strongest delusions in the world today, and that is that if we just keep the peace, so-called peace process going in the Middle East, there will be peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and it'll never happen because one side doesn't want it to happen. Israel certainly would like to have it happen, but the others, there isn't another side to the negotiations.
Yeah, Fred.
No, and Mahmoud Abbas, I mean, his initial response to all of this, and this had to do with the president's declaration that we recognize Jerusalem as the capital.
Yeah.
We're going to move our embassy up there. His initial response is, we don't want to talk to the United States anymore. Oh, but by the way, keep sending us $500 million dollars a year. Mm-hmm. You know, it took a President Trump to say, no deal on that. Republican, if it was George W. Bush still in the White House, if it was Barack Obama, of course, that would never happen. It took a Donald Trump to say, I'm not going to continue giving money to people who really don't want us at the table. They just want our money.
Yeah, and see, that's why he got elected. He doesn't have the political groupthink. He doesn't have the politician's mindset. He is a businessman, and he just sees things from a practical standpoint. And that's why he won over a year ago, is because enough Americans. So, look, they were done with business as usual in Washington. The only way to defeat business as usual in Washington is to elect somebody who's not part of the swamp and who's not part of the poisonous snakes in the swamp. And it's working. It's working amazing.
Jan, another question for you. You're from the metropolis of Minneapolis, that area. And I last time I asked you this, and I want to get an update from you. This has to deal with the investigation into the Somali police officer there in Minneapolis who shot and killed the Australian lady, unarmed Australian lady. Now, what I heard last week, and maybe you can confirm this, is that the prosecutor there in Minneapolis came out and said, we still aren't through with the investigation. We don't have enough evidence to lay charges against this Somali officer. Just for our listeners, you will remember, Australian lady calls the police. She heard she was living in Minneapolis, going to get married to a guy there. She hears rumblings out in the alley behind her apartment. She goes out there. Obviously, she doesn't have a gun on her. She called police. The police arrive. There is a police officer obviously driving the car. The Somali police officer is over on the passenger side.
Correct.
He takes out his gun, and he shoots and kills this Australian lady. This is, what, 6-7 months ago now?
Right.
And the authorities there are saying, gee, we don't have enough evidence to bring any charges against this Somali police officer. What are you hearing on the ground up there? Because this totally baffles our mind. The family of the Australian lady held a news conference last week saying, we want something done about this.
Yeah.
And nothing's being done.
Fred, you've outlined it, and you know about as much as I know. You're absolutely right that locally they're saying there's just not enough evidence. You're absolutely right that the Somali police officer in the passenger seat of the car simply got his gun out, shot this poor woman dead cold right in front of the other officer. And you're absolutely right that the family right now, the Australian family, is beside themselves because clearly nothing's being done. And my hunch is, if I were to really go talk to some insiders, they would say that, you know, and the problem is this age-old political correctness. And listen, Minnesota's drowning in it because this is the Islamic Republic of Minnesota. And we have more Somalis here than we can possibly keep track of. So why on earth this man was even hired? He was hired under questionable circumstances. And where this is going, my hunch is it will eventually just be buried. But obviously the family of this woman who was so heinously shot is not letting the story die.
Dan, what do you got coming up on your show this weekend?
I think it's kind of interesting. I'm going to be talking to Bill Koenig. He's one of only five evangelical press corps members in the White House press corps, and he is pro-Israel guy, Bill Koenig. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about his observations of the new Trump administration, not the new, but the new year Trump administration. And he's just a fascinating fellow to talk to. Your listeners will love it.
That's at noon Central Time on Sunday.
And 1 p.m. Central on Saturday.
Right here on American Family Radio. Jan Markell, yes. President of Olive Tree Ministries. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Jan Markell. Appreciate her joining us.
Here's the other thing that bothers me about this Somali police officer killing this Australian woman. Mainstream media, maybe we shouldn't be surprised by this, barely touches this story.
Mm-hmm.
They barely touch it. Let's pretend for a moment that police officer was a white guy and the woman who was killed was an African-American woman. 6 months later, no charges laid.
Right.
What would be happening with this story if that was the case?
Yeah, your point well taken.
Not right.
Yeah.
Also, the timing. An investigation into an incident involving three people, two officers and one female, should not take that long.
No.
The investigation should not, maybe a year maximum.
It shouldn't take that long.
Right.
Yeah.
There is no question about the fact that he shot her. Mm-hmm. And she was unarmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the facts of this, but nothing is done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know, Fred, Ray is not just a potted plant.
I know that.
He needs something to comment on. So,
you know, hey, I got a question for Fred. I was listening to the discussion there about the whole situation in the Middle East. What's happening in Iran? Seems, you know, for a couple of days we were hearing about these riots and protests, and it seems like in the last 24 hours or so, Iran has clamped down on media. Do we have a clear picture of what is going on over there? What's going to be, I got to say, Tim, kudos to President Trump. He did what President Obama would never do. Mm. He stood up on the side of the folks who are fighting for freedom. Is there any news from Iran in the last 24 or 48 hours?
No, there have been some, and I hesitate to even, some counter protests, some pro Ayatollah Khomeini protests. We all know that's been orchestrated by the state. The last I heard that the arrests continue. There are some demonstrations, but it's like a lot of other stories. I'm afraid unless something major happens in the development, the mainstream media just wants to go away from it, so that's why you're not seeing any continued reporting on it.
You know, and the other point there, too, we talked about the other day, is as long as the army is on the side of the government,
that's right,
there can't be a revolution. There can be demonstrations. Mm-hmm. If the army begins to shift, or any particular part of the army, like a subset of it, mm-hmm. decides they want to go over to the other side, then you could really have a true Iranian revolution. Until then, I don't know that the president can do anything more than what he did. And Nikki Haley, I thought her comments the other day were terrific. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's more we can do at this point.
No, not at this point.
Iran, you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Iran. And, of course, North Korea is still there. Mm-hmm. Those are the two worry spots in the world.
Now they say they want to part in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. North Korea does?
Yeah, yes. North Korea, yeah. They
Well.
Yes.
What? Okay. This guy, you know, the thing about it is with a lot of bad situations in the world, potentially very dangerous situations in the world, namely Iran and North Korea, these aren't going away.
Nope.
Anytime soon. Mm-hmm. You know, you would like to think that a coup could take place, for example, in North Korea, mm-hmm. and remove this guy from his dictatorship, mm-hmm. because he's starving his own people. Mm-hmm. There was a story yesterday or the day before about the army there in North Korea being told, you know, go find food for yourself. Did y'all see this?
Yeah.
Go find food for yourself.
Yeah.
But so you know the people of North Korea in their hearts and in their minds, I mean, they're humans. They hate the living conditions they're having to mm-hmm. suffer through. Mm-hmm. They can't. I mean, people don't want to be in bondage like this, to live in fear all the time. But if you're going to conduct a coup, you have to have a leader, right? And somebody has to start it. Well, it's hard to get somebody to step up and start a coup when they know they're going to be, if they're found out, they're going to be fed to the dogs. You know, and their families are going to be killed and or tortured. So that's, you know, that's the kind of brutality that this guy operates under or over his lords over his people.
Yeah, and if I'm the United States and other countries, I would not loosen up any of the sanctions or any of the policies because he wants to come to the Olympics or he, you know, wears a suit instead of his military outfit. I mean, until this guy starts coming to the table or showing signs he's slowing down his nuclear facility, mm-hmm. then I would keep the pressure on. Obviously, something might be working. You know, all the sanctions stuff might be working. So I just hope that we don't try to soften our policy like we haven't done in years past because we think he might be
exactly.
You know, starting to be nice.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Yes, Fred.
One more story. This is a very positive story. You know, drain the swamp, we all became familiar with that mm-hmm. During the election campaign. Well, President Trump is doing that in the bureaucracy. Yesterday, this government report came out, and it was reported by the Washington Post. According to the Post, the federal government shed 16,000 jobs during Trump's first year in office. So we're decreasing. Trump's efforts to reduce the bloated bureaucracy could not come fast enough because there's been another report issued by a government transparency group found the number of government workers earning at least $200,000 a year more than doubled during Obama's presidency. Now listen to this, folks. The report found that, quote, nearly 30,000 rank-and-file federal employees out-earned each of the 50 state governors. So these are rank and files. These aren't department heads. These are rank and file federal employees have take home pay greater than 50 governors in this country.
Hmm. So actually, if you resign your governorship and move to D.C. and get a job.
Yeah. Payroll you know, clerk.
You get a promotion.
You get a promotion.
But that's seriously.
Yep. It's amazing. And in one case, listen to this, folks. There's a payroll clerk in San Francisco, federal government employee.
Yeah.
Bonuses are nice.
Yeah.
This guy got a bonus of $140,000.
What's he did?
A bonus. He's a payroll clerk.
Good work if you get it.
$140,000.
That job title sounds like to me he can approve his own bonus. if he's the payroll clerk, huh?
Who knows?
Okay, we're going to take a break right here for the official news coming up from AFR. Then Steve Jordahl will step in for Fred here and Tim, Walker, and Ray, and we'll all return in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.